I would like to go over verse 6 very briefly here for a very definite purpose, as you shall see. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, we've already discussed about the meaning of the putting on of hands. That meant that Timothy was a partner with Paul, and I'm of the opinion that the mantle of Paul fell upon Timothy. I believe that was Paul's intention. This young man was close to Paul, and when he was in prison in Rome, he said, of Timothy, I have no man like-minded. That is, here was a man that could carry on the teaching and preaching of Paul. And therefore, the laying on of hands said, he's my partner. We're together in this. We've joined together in this. And I wish I could put my hands on many of you to make you partners in this ministry, because we want you to be a partner in of getting out the word. But now, notice what Paul has said here, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Now, this man had a gift, and Paul urges him to stir it up. Now, what would that indicate to you? I do not want in any way to cast any reflection on this young man, Timothy, because I think he was a wonderful young man. But Paul, at this time, he was in Macedonia. And this young man was in Ephesus. And Ephesus was the place where there was the temple of Diana, one of the great sin spots in the Roman world. And there were many allurements. There were many enticements in the city there for a young man in Ephesus. And Paul knew that, for Paul had spent 3 years there. And I'm just wondering if maybe he was afraid that Timothy might be reluctant and hold back, and that there might be a danger. You can see in this the concern of the Apostle Paul for this young man. He loved him, and about every verse makes that clear. He calls him my dearly beloved son. How lovely. That was in verse 2. Now, will you notice in verse 7, he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, this word fear actually could be better translated cowardice. Now, I think that a great many of us have misinterpreted this, and I know I have in the past. I remember that when I first began to travel by air, I didn't want to. I had to make engagements, still do. And I do a great deal of flying because I have to do that. But I don't enjoy it. And at first, this disturbed me a great deal. Many years ago, I would make a flight, and then I would lie on a board filled with nails, as it were, rebuking myself because of my fear. Well, fear is a natural thing, and it's a good thing. I'm really afraid of a lion. I would not want to meet one in the street. The scripture has something to say about that. A lion that's loose in the street. Well, I want to tell you, I'm going to look for a good place to hide from a lion. I have a fear of a lion. And I think that's a normal human being to have fear. And many of us, for some reason, have a fear of flying, of height. And it is something that we try to fight. I prayed about it. And I used to wonder why the Lord didn't remove that from me. But I just kept right on flying. Now, may I say this? What Paul is saying here is this. God hath not given us the spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, actually, sound mind here means discipline. In other words, God does not intend that defeat should be the norm of Christian living. In other words, we should be disciplined Christians and not be a slave to our emotions. Many of us today are slaves to our emotions, And we are moved by that. And that's the reason that when the picture of a poor little hungry orphan is put on literature, people will send in money. I've been looking around for a picture. There have been times in this broadcast, I wonder, maybe we didn't need something like that. Why? It appeals to people's emotions. Now, Christians ought not to be motivated by emotions at all. I think, frankly, we can be carried away by them. Therefore, our emotions are not to master us. We're to be disciplined. All right, let's come back to this. Is it wrong to have fear of flying? No, it would be wrong to stay home. You see, if you're a disciplined Christian, you're going to grit your teeth, go down and get that ticket, and you're going to take that trip because it's in the Lord's work and it's essential for the thing that you're to do in your lifestyle for God. Therefore, you do that. Why? Because you're disciplined, you're living and overcoming your emotions. And then you're going to sit there like I do, gritting your teeth and wondering how many more hours it'll be, and every hour seems like an eternity. And if the plane starts bouncing around, I always have a tendency to grab the seat in front of me. And I don't know why I do that. I've thought that through, because that seat in front of me is not any safer than the seat I'm sitting in. But I don't know. I grab hold of it and I feel a little better when I do that. Now, this verse is a wonderful verse. You and I are to overcome these things. God doesn't intend for us to be defeated Christians in our lives today. Now, a great many people, their emotions have so affected them that they, well, very frankly, on the trip I made to Bible lands, I didn't want to go to Egypt because I'd had a bad experience there, and I was very emotional about it. I just didn't like Cairo, Egypt, and I didn't want to go there. But actually, the Lord forced it on me. I was going into Jerusalem and wait for the tour group there and have a couple of days to rest. But every hotel was filled. We couldn't get a reservation. So I said, I'll be smart. I'll stay in Athens and wait for them and fly over when they fly over. But you know what? They wouldn't let me stay in the hotel because the space had all sold out. And there wasn't but one place for me to go, and that was to Cairo, Egypt. I'm glad I went. Actually, it was forced on me to do it. But I thank God I overcame my emotions, and I didn't overcome them. The Lord forced it on me. But I'm thankful that He did, because not only had a delightful visit, I learned a great deal. Now, I believe that that's the meaning of this verse here.